This may come as a surprise, but I'm not a member of Women's Ministries. And I'm also, I don't know how they overlooked me, but I'm not a member of the Young Adults group. But it sure has been enjoyable the last couple months. We had the Women's Ministry, and then we had the Young Adults Ministry that ran the services and took care of everything. And it kind of gave the elders here, gave us a little bit of a break, kind of a sabbatical, if you will. But it was very enjoyable. And the interesting thing to me was how much I enjoyed listening to all the testimonies and how different. Did you hear any two testimonies the same? No. Every single one of them was different. We had some that spent their entire life in the church. From little on, they knew who Jesus was, they grew with it, and they accepted him early and spent the majority of their lives there. And then you had those that were drug addicts. They didn't spend their whole life with the Lord. They spent it away from the Lord. They were drug addicts. They had the Lord encounter them and change their lives. And it was so encouraging to hear that people who felt they weren't worth anything, Jesus says, you are worth a lot. Yeah. To me, you are worth a lot. You're worth everything. I gave it all. I gave my entire life for you. My blood poured out for you because you're worth it. To me, you are worth it. And it's just been so encouraging that we're different. Some knew who Jesus was but never had a relation with him. And now they do. Some have spent their whole lives with a relationship. They're different, but they're the same. At the same token, they're the same as if they just came from the same shoot, the same leaf. They were exactly the same, because in God's eyes, they are. We're all the same. None are better because they've been a Christian longer. None are worse because they have just now become a Christian. They have just found the Lord. The reward is the same. They're going to get it. So as I was thinking about it over the last few weeks, as we've been going through these, it kind of struck me. I love parables. The parables in the Bible. I've always loved reading the parables. And so the Lord was kind of impressing upon me a certain parable. And now I'm not going to read the whole parable, but I'm going to paraphrase a lot of it. But it's the parable of the laborers in the vineyard in Matthew 20, 1 through 6. We don't need to put it up. I'm just going to paraphrase what was going on. But see, there was a vineyard owner, and it was harvest time for his grapes. The thing is, those grapes had to be harvested today. It was strange, but when you look at the grapes, tomorrow, those grapes that were now ripe would have had a different flavor, a different taste to them, and that would affect the taste of the wines that they used. So what they had to do was they had to pick it. So as it said, you know, that the kingdom of heaven is like this field, this vineyard. Everything has to be harvested and brought in, but you need laborers to do that. And the owner went out and hired people at 6 o'clock in the morning and said, "Come here, I need laborers. Come here, come here. I'll pay you the equivalent of now, which would be a penny, but I'll pay you a penny for your labor." And they agreed. They said, "Okay, great." And then he turned around on the third hour of the day, which would have been 9 o'clock in the morning, and he went out and he found more men standing on the corner looking for work, because that's what they would do. They didn't have set jobs, and especially when it came time for harvesting crops, they would go stand on the corner and wait for someone to hire them to come labor for them. So he went out and there were more men, and he said, "Well, I'll hire you too. Come on out. Come to my vineyard and help me with this situation." And then he turned around in the sixth hour, which was noon. And what did he do? He went and he found more men that were there. He still has to get this harvest in, and he brought them in. Then the Bible says that at the ninth hour, which is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I mean, he went out and he gathered up more laborers. And he brought them in, and they worked it. And then he went out on the 11th hour, which was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he hired those that were left. And he brought them in and took care of them. He hired them as well. So then when it came to pass, when it was time for him to start settling up with his employees, he started with the first ones, or the last ones that came, not the first, but the last. He came with the laborers who came on the 11th hour. So in the 11th hour, he paid them a penny. He paid them what he felt they were worth and what that time was worth to him. So the ones that were in the first hour and the third hours, and they were all figuring, "Well, okay, if he's going to pay them, what are we going to get?" And with each that he progressed to go through, he went through the ninth hour, gave them a penny. He went through the sixth hour, gave them a penny. Well, now there were murmurs going on. There were complaints. "I spent all day here. I have been working since sunup. And this guy over here has only worked an hour, and he's getting the same as me. That's not fair. That's not just. What's going on? Shouldn't I receive the same reward? I should do it. He didn't do the work that I did." And the owner of the vineyard said, "Whose money is it?" "It's mine. What did I promise you? And what has Jesus promised us? Salvation. That's the pay." And what he's saying here is, "Did I not promise you a certain amount of money? And did I not give you that certain amount of money for what your toil was?" And they had to say, "Yes, of course." "Well, then I am the one that decides if you're getting that reward or not, and equal. I'm giving equal to you." God is doing that every single time someone gets saved. He doesn't say, "Oh, well, Bruce, you know, you've been a Christian your whole life, so I'm going to give you more money. I'm going to give you more reward when you get to heaven. I'm going to give you that reward. Not for what you did or anything, but you've been at it longer, so you should get more." Or does he say, "Guess what? Steve has been a Christian a lot less time than Bruce, but in God's eyes, we're equal. What we do is equal." regardless of when it happened. It would bring me to the book of Luke 23:42-43. And it says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today shall thou be with me in paradise." He was speaking to the thief on the cross next to him, dying on this cross. Within an hour, his life would be done. And Jesus, the Son of God himself, what does he say to him? Come on, brother, come with me to paradise. Not, gee, you know, you haven't been there very long. You haven't worshiped me long enough. You haven't served me long enough. No, he's saying, come on. It's never too late as long as we draw breath. It's never going to be too late. And that's why I encourage, we need to not be afraid to say Jesus is Lord. Come and join me. Join me and God in paradise. Be there with us. Because that's my reward. I'm going to be there with the Lord. Come join us. Giving the opportunity to be able to say, thank you, Lord. But the important thing that I think with the time that we are saved and the time that we have isn't so much how much time, but what do we do with the time? It's so important that we understand that we could sit in the pew on Sunday, spend a couple hours here, pay our tithes. I'm done. That's it. The Lord is saying, what are you doing? Don't you love me? Are you denying me? Are you afraid of me? Or are you going to reach out and are you going to help one another? We could sit back and say, oh, well, you know, I just don't have the time. But amazingly, God has time for us. Jesus had the time to come down and be crucified on that cross for me. I can't sit back and say, I don't have time for you now. Where's my reward? Where's my honor of the Lord? That's what's important to us. We have to be able to look back and say, okay, what have I done for you today, Lord? Bonnie's a great example of dedicating as much time as you can possibly fit into anything. And Bonnie is always, every time I have known Bonnie, she's been involved in something. Whether it's developing political statements, whether it's serving the homeless, whether it's getting into the schools to bring the gospel back into the schools. Dedicating. And not just, oh, well, she's got more time than I do. I don't agree with that. Because we can be doing it all the time. We can be honoring God all the time. You know, I'm thinking about Paul. And Paul was really a bad person. He was, few people realize it, but when Stephen was being stoned, Paul was there cheering him on. Paul was the one instigating killing Stephen because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was on the Hebrew side, the Jewish side. He was honored. He was above all. He was in the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee in the Sanhedrin, but he was the Pharisee's Pharisee. He was so into the law and understanding of the law that the other rabbis and the other Pharisees and Sadducees would come to him for clarification of the law. So he was really into it, and so was his persecution as he continued to persecute the start of the Christian church. The church was starting to take off. When it says that, you know, 3,000 were added a day, that's a lot of people. That's a lot when your population of your cities are not that large and you get 3,000, 4,000 people a day being added, it's starting to move. And here was this man out here to destroy it. He would attack them in the synagogues when they go to preach in the synagogues. He would openly have them attacked, arrested. And the story about when he was on his way to Damascus and he was stricken when Jesus got a hold of him and said, But he had a letter in his hand to take in so that everyone in the territory that believed in Jesus would be arrested and put to death. All of them. He was going to kill Christianity when the Lord stopped him and says, why are you persecuting me? What did I do to you? Well, who are you? I'm Jesus. Who are you persecuting? Took his sight, which was returned when he went to Damascus, given to the Lord. And the Lord said, you're going to go out now and you're going to be my disciple to the Gentile. And Paul actually became a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was not one of the original 12, but he became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he went out to, as we know, three trips to the Gentiles. Three journeys, bringing the gospel, spreading the word of Christ to the nations. If he hadn't, we have to wonder, would we be sitting here now? If it hadn't been for him being obedient, and regardless of how bad he was and how bad his life was, the Lord used him. And he didn't say, oh, I'm not going. Not me. Oh, I'm saved now, but I ain't going. No, he gladly was ready to go. Problem is, he was ready to go, but he wasn't ready to go. He had to learn first, and that's why he went with Barnabas in Antioch for 14 years and studied under Barnabas the gospel of Jesus Christ, to understand it and know what it was. And then he was shocked when he got with Peter and John to find out that that gospel he was learning was identical to what they were teaching. See, well, wait a minute, I'm here with the Gentiles and you're here with the Jews, but it's the same. Yeah, it's the same because we're grafted into that covenant of Abraham. And then he just continued to grow and to learn. And why I'm pointing this out is you can be a Christian your whole life and never done anything with it. I knew a man that had been a Christian his entire life. I'm not going to mention his name. He, at one time, he went here to this church. And that man said, oh, you read and study the Bible all the time? Yeah. Oh, Well, you know, I never have gotten all the way through it. I've been saved for over 50 years, 60 years. And you've never, well, I didn't have a need toward it because I was saved. And that really struck me odd because how do you grow closer to the Lord? How do we get more like the Lord if we don't study His Word and we don't study Him and seek the Holy Spirit and also learn from others that are there? Like I said, with the men's ministries, steel sharpens steel. We need to be with one another. You can be 75 years old and learn from a 20-year-old, saying that their knowledge, I need to glean from that. I've never studied, I haven't learned it. But here's a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old that I can glean from, and he can teach me and help me to grow. But we don't want to seek it, because all I have to do is just come to church on Sunday and pay my tithes, and I'm good. I can do what I want the rest of the week. I don't need to, read the Bible. I don't need to lead Bible studies. I don't need to attend men's ministries or women's ministries. I'm fine. Everything is really good. I'm going to be closing shortly, and my wife says, amen. She knows when I start talking, I can get off and get rattling onto too many different things, and I tried not to do it this time, or I had like 16 different ways I could have gone with all these little side notes that really don't mean anything except to me. But to understand, though, that what we have as Christians is we have freedom. And again, it's what do you do with your freedom? It's kind of like the after the end of slavery in this country. The slaves were freed. Well, what did they do with the freedom? Did they stay where they were? Some did. Or did they leave? Did they go somewhere and do something and try to build a life for themselves? And it's the same that we have. We're given the freedom through Jesus Christ. We have been freed from our sin. We have been freed from the condemnation of what we deserve. Just like the thief on the cross next to Jesus was freed from his sin and his just deserts, which was hell. He was freed from it because he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior right then and there on his deathbed. So it's important of what do we do with the freedom? In Galatians 5:13, it says, "For brethren, you have been called unto freedom. Only use not freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Serving your fellow man. When Jesus was asked, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" He said, "There are two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." That covers all of the Ten Commandments, the 613, it covers them all. But too many times, we don't love our brother as ourselves. We judge him. We want to say, I've been a Christian a long time. The way you're talking, the way it is, well, I don't want anything to do with you. Instead of being there to set the example, instead of being there to encourage, to build up, to take and equip the saints for the work of God. I think it's what we need to be doing is we just need to be seeking ourselves. I don't spend enough time with the Lord, and I know it. When I have time, when I'm walking the dog, or I'm, oh boy, the Lord and I are having a great time. I'm talking all the time to him. I'm praying and seeking him, and I love to get in and study the word, and you know, we have Bible studies and different things, but I still don't spend enough time with the Lord. I'm not taken care of, and I need to do that myself. I need to look deeper at me and say, am I doing enough? Am I doing anything? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Am I doing anything to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ? He gave us the opportunity. And every one of those testimonies said the same thing. I'm saved. I'm saved through the blood of Christ. I am his. Bought and paid for. My sins are claimed. I have been forgiven. I will be forgiven. All of it. But church, I want to say, are you seeking your heart to say, oh, that's me he's talking about? Because, you know, I remember when I first got saved sitting here in this church, and Pastor Forner was the pastor here at the time. And I swear that man had spies. He had the FBI and the CIA, and he may have even had Martian spies. I don't know. Because when he'd get up here and preach, he was looking right at me, just like I'm looking at Terry. You're a sinner. You don't. He was like, and I told him the one time, I says, who do you got spying on me? He says, what are you talking? I says, you haven't had a sermon yet that you weren't pointing your finger at me, that I was. He said, no, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But we need to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I help with? You want to know, okay, well, what can I do to call the church office? We've got a lot of things we can do. There's a lot of different organizations that need help. There's a lot of things going on in this church that we can use help with. Call. It's, you know how it starts? By asking, what can I do? You've got a few people that work an awful lot of hours and then come here and do all the maintenance in this church. Cutting trees, cutting branches, doing this, that, taking care of the lights, taking care of, there's a lot involved in the church itself. And that's part of serving. But then also, what can I do in the community? If you have a passion for something in the community that you want to do, like Bonnie. Bonnie gets a passion, watch out. Because she's like a bulldog. She's not going to let it go. And yeah, praise God is right. But if you have a passion on something that you want to do, contact the church. We've got people that can help you get it organized, help you get it started. But you got to take the first step. You got to be willing to take that first step. And that's the question that I'm going to kind of leave you with, is are you willing to take the first step? And are you doing, in your own mind, are you doing enough? I'm going to ask that something a little unusual, because I really enjoyed it, but our young adults group, prayer teams, that's been, we're up here this last month. Would you come forward and pray for people? Yeah, come on. I was very encouraged, and like I was talking with Terry before, and this is our future here. Take a look. This is our future. And these young adults are dedicated. They're working. They're going after seeking the Lord. If you have a prayer request, anything, it doesn't have to be what I was speaking on, but if you have a prayer request, you have a need in your body, you have anything, come forward and they will pray for you. And believe me, the power of prayer when it comes to healing, I don't want to get into the, God gave me the new knee one yet. I start talking, I won't shut up on that. But if you have that, also, even besides the prayer teams here, the rest of the altar is still open. I encourage you to come and seek the Lord and do soul searching yourself to say, okay, I'm goofing off. I'm taking my freedom from sin and my freedom of knowing that I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. I'm taking it for granted. And seek the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will reveal unto you what it is he wants you to do. And like I said, we have people here that can help you with that. Or even if it's just studying under someone, like I said, 14 years, Saul learned under Barnabas. That's a long time, 14 years, to study under somebody before he went into the mission field. So I'm going to open it up now, and I'm just going to, we won't have any formal dismissal. I'm just going to say, Lord, I just pray a blessing over your people here today, Father, and just use us mightily, Father. Let us never take for granted what you have done for us in salvation, Lord. We just praise you, we glorify you, and magnify your holy name, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Be blessed this week, church.